I'm certainly in the need of the Lord right now, and I desire an interest in your prayers. I appreciate your fellowship and your sweet hospitality. If you have your Bibles, I'd like to turn to Genesis chapter 7, verse 11. Genesis chapter 7 and verse 11. As a young man growing up, there's many things I had to face, and as I was thinking about this meeting and thinking about maybe some of you college students or high school students who are going through things and being challenged, one of the things that I was challenged with in my college years, I took a biology class, and while I was taking that class, there was a very charismatic professor that was over top of that class. And that professor, he pretty much convinced the entire class that evolution was not a theory, but he convinced them that it was a fact. And as a matter of fact, he took it a step farther and began to knock down the thoughts of even having a creator. And brothers and sisters, these are things that our children face all the time in this world that we live in. And so I would like to look at a couple things in Scripture that pertains to this topic. First off, I ask you this question. Do you believe the Lord created the earth in 6 days and rested on the seventh? Yes. And if you do believe that, then you believe it by faith. Do you believe that this world was covered with water? If you believe that this world was covered by water, you believe it by faith. You're given faith in the new birth and the ninefold fruit of the Spirit. The seventh one listed is faith. We believe these things by faith. But I would like to dive into the Scriptures and take a look at a couple things. And also, I would like to also make you aware of some different things that are out there to be watchful for. And Genesis chapter 7. And in verse 11, the Bible says, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the deep broken up and the windows of heaven were opened. This was the single most catastrophic event that's ever taken place in this world, ever. And we believe that this happened by faith. The Bible tells us in 2 Peter that there will come scoffers in the last day that will say that that really didn't happen. They don't believe that the world was really within without water. Well, you know what? The Bible even teaches the world was covered with water before the one time before it was covered with water the second time. When you look at creation. First off, I want you to know that I'm not a scientist, I'm not an expert, and I'm not trying to knock down scientists. There's very many good scientists that are out there, so I want to make that very clear. My wife, who I love so dearly, is a scientist. As a matter of fact, my wife is a microbiologist, and she does cancer research, and she does things with DNA, and actually she's helped me a little bit in understanding some of the things in this particular study that I did. And some of the things people might ask about the flood is, well, where did the water come from? Or where did the water go? And I'd like to look at a couple of those things in Scripture. And speaking about evolution, I have no problem with things such as microevolution. Microevolution is the state that, saying within a specific species, that it can change over a period of time. For instance, if you go up to close to where I live, to Mount Vernon, and if you go and you tour through, you'll see that the beds of the soldiers here in the Revolutionary War time, and where George Washington lived, you'll find that the beds were a little bit shorter than they are today. So the height of a normal man was different in the 1700s than it is now. I would probably fit in pretty good in the 1700s. Okay. Last night, Brother Chris, when I took the pulpit, he whispered in my ear. He says, "Let me put the microphone down for you a little bit, brother." So I'm a little bit shorter, and I probably fit very well in that time period. However, the normal height of man now is about 5'10", something like that. So I have no problem with things like that. But I do have a problem saying that a banana and a dog is connected to each other. I have a problem thinking that we went across species lines. Here's a couple things. Evolution teaches that right now that the Earth is 4.54 billion years old. That's what they teach. Now, I don't adhere to that. I believe this Earth is a little over 6,000 years old. But the evolutionist teaches 4.54 billion years old. And Brother Donald and I was talking about this last night. He brought up the point. He says, well, they use circular reasoning. And you know what circular reasoning is? Circular reasoning is Let's say you're looking at a thing and it shows the different stratas of sediment where they dig for fossils. And they go through the strata and they see that, they'll say, well, the strata is dated by the fossils that are in the strata. So the strata, if they say that the fossil is 40 million years old, then the strata is 40 million years old. But then you come back to them and you say, well, then how old is the strata? They'll say, well, it's 40 million years old. Now, how do you get that? Well, because the strata that it's in is 40 million years old. In other words, they circle the reasoning. They'll say, because the fossils, the strata is that old. And then they'll say, because of the strata, the fossils is that old. And it's just a circle. And it really doesn't make sense. Now, I want to introduce to you a couple fellas in our past. There was a guy by the name of Charles Lyell. And in 1858, he said that the Earth's probably about 300 million years old. Now, the reason I want to tell you this is I want to show you that the evolution of evolution. Okay? Their theory continues to evolve. All right? You find that the Bible is constant and it never changes. God's word is true. Every man is a liar. So, we see that there was a guy by the name of Calvin that came after that in 1862. And he said, well, probably between 20 to 400 million years old. So they gained about 100 million years. Well, if you keep on following that, here's one that really gets me. Right now, they say 4.54 billion years old. But you know what they said 10 years ago? 10 years ago, we were 4.4 billion years old. Now, you mathematicians, do your math. That means we've gained 140 million years in the last 10 years. Okay, now does that make a whole lot of sense? They're saying that our Earth has gained 140 million years in the last 10 years. We're aging quick. Now, the gap theory is another one. And you know, here's things that really attack Christians. Some Christians will try to water down God's Word to try to compensate for intellectual science. When I say intellectual, I'm talking about man's wisdom and not God's wisdom. Okay? So what they'll say is something like, well, there's a gap theory to try to explain away the extinction of dinosaurs or something like that. So they'll say, well, there's no way to put a time period on the first day. So what they'll say is that maybe that was where all the millions and billions of years came along. But that is not that does not go with God's word, that in the book of Exodus, it says that he created the earth in 6 days. The heaven earned 6 days, and he rested on the seventh period. Now, the thing is, do we believe that? Because, listen, he's God. He's God. He can do anything. Anything. So let's never put any limitations on God. Now, I'm not going to get into the whole big dinosaur thing, but I do want to give you a couple little facts that I find is very interesting. And I'm just throwing this out there for your own personal interest, and then we're going to move on. So, first off, you'll say, well, Brother Jonathan, the word dinosaur is not in the Bible. Well, the word D-I-N, however you spell it, dinosaur, is not in the Bible because the word dinosaur was invented in 1841. When was your Bible translated to English? 1611. So there's one reason that the word dinosaur, but I want to just encourage you when you get a moment, I'm not going to go over there now, but read Job at the end of chapter 40. And read Job chapter 41, and you'll read about a creature, the name is Behemoth, and you'll read another creature by the name of Leviathan. Now, if your Bible's a Cambridge Bible or another, you might look through the reference and you'll say something like hippopotamus or elephant. But that doesn't quite fit the description of the animal that's there. The animal says that he had a tail like a cedar. Okay, can you imagine something the size of a cedar tree? That's an amazing creature right there. And then Leviathan, he says, can you draw Leviathan out with a hook? He was a sea creature. So I think that those are very much goes along with what we see today as dinosaurs. Because like I said, the word was not even invented at the time that the Bible was translated into English. Now, the truth is that our Earth is just a little over 6,000 years old. There are fossils all over this world that shows the evidence that there was a global flood. Now listen, some people try to say that it was just a regional flood, maybe just the Mediterranean area. And they'll say that way they'll say, well, it really wasn't. Well, here's the thing that gets me. The NASA came up recently and they said that Mars probably had a global flood on it. And that's what caused all the valleys and the mountains and everything else. But here we are on an Earth that's covered with 70% water with frozen polar caps on both sides. And they have a hard time believing that our Earth was covered with water at one time. So, here's a couple other things. When you look at those sediments, they found trees standing up through those rock layers. Right. From the bottom to the top, those trees were standing up through and those layers were going through. So if you're trying to say that this is a million years old, this is 40 million, this is 50 million, so on and so forth, how can you explain that tree that's standing up right in between those rock layers? All right, so these are some things that I want to bring forth to you. And a couple of, take the Grand Canyon. There's a marvelous example of God's handiwork. And you're saying, well, Brother Jonathan, are you saying that the Grand Canyon could have been formed at maybe the time of the flood? Yes, I am. It could have been formed at that time. And if you want really good proof, go on your computers and I want you to look up this canyon. It's called Burlingame Canyon. Now, this happened in 1926. In Burlingame Canyon, near Walla Walla, Washington, they have a canyon that measures 1,500 feet long and is 120 feet deep. Now, that was in February 1920. Now, in February, I'm sorry, before the spring of the year, it measured 10 feet deep and 6 feet wide. In a matter of 6 days. In a matter of 6 days, when the spring rains came, it opened into an entire canyon, a quarter the size of the Grand Canyon. Don't tell me that. Imagine if that happened with spring rains. Imagine what a global flood would do. I believe that our Earth looked different before the flood than it looks today. Now, where did water come from? Let's look at Genesis chapter 1, and let's look at verse 2. Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. So we see right at this point that the world is covered with water. The Spirit of God is moving upon the face of the waters. Now, let's go down to verse 6. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide, now pay attention to this, the waters from the waters. Okay, the word firmament means in an expansion. So you have the waters, and we're not looking at lateral, but we're looking at vertical. When he said, and you're like, how do you know that, Brother Jonathan? We're going to look in just a minute at the definition of firmament. When he said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, you have the water and the firmament is in the middle and it expanded. Therefore, you have water that was on top and you have water that was below. But we still don't have land yet. Okay, there was an expansion that went between the waters. So you had water above and you have water below. Now look at verse 20. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and the fowl that may fly above the earth in the open, what? In the open firmament of the heaven. So we find that the firmament is that expansion that is there that divided the waters from the waters. Now I want to remind you the scripture we already read, that the fountains of the deep were broken. That's from below. And that the windows of heaven were opened up. So water came from below and from above at the same time. It was a catastrophic event. Now, I want to give you a couple other scriptures about where the water came from. In Psalm 24, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Did you get that? That he had founded the earth. He had founded that upon the seas. Okay, so you have water below and then land above the water. And then on Psalm 33, 7, He hath gathered the waters of the sea together as an heap, and he lieth up the depth in storehouses. So there were great storehouses of water that was below. Do you remember how that it had never rained until the time of the flood? How was the ground watered? God caused a mist to come up and to water the ground that was there. In Psalms 136, verse 6, the Bible says, "To him that stretch out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endureth forever." Now, there was plenty of water. Don't you doubt that. There was plenty of water that was able to flood this entire earth. Now, where did the water go? Job 38, verse 8. "Or who shut up the sea with doors?" And you got to catch that part, what the doors are. "Or who shut up the sea with doors when it brake forth as it had issued out of the womb?" Now, I was there when all my children were born. And there was nothing like it when her water broke. And he uses that description right here. "As it brake forth as it issued out of the womb. When I make the cloud the garment thereof, and thick darkness a swaddling band for it, and break it up, it my decreed, in my decreed place." That means he has a set place for it to stop. "And set bars and doors, and said, hitherto shalt thou come, but no farther shall thou proud waves be stayed." Okay, so that means that after this time of the flood, there was a point that the water could go no farther. There was doors, and that's your beaches that are all around this world. Now, in Job 38, verse 30, he talks about hiding the waters. In Job 38, 30, he says, "The waters are hid as with a stone, and the face of the deep is frozen." Now, the first expedition to the North Pole happened in the 1800s. There was no way that they were to know that there were polar caps on the either end until the 1800s. But the book of Job, being the oldest written book in the Bible, here we find written in God's Word that it was frozen. We find God's truth over and over in the Bible. Another one that really fascinates me is the rainbow. When you look at the rainbow from an earthly standpoint, you only see half of the bow. You only see from one end to the other end, and then it stops. And then it's just like in after Noah's flood, when you look, it said he put a bow in the sky. But then when you look at Revelation chapter 4, it says a rainbow encircled the throne, a complete circle. And now if you got into an airplane or if you went up above the earth and you saw a picture, Google circular pictures of rainbow, and you saw the full rainbow, it would be a complete circle. And you see that written in John's writing in the book of Revelation before anyone had the ability to go up and notice that it really had a full circle. You see that God's word proves true over and over and over, and the science that they are finding out here in this world is proving God's word. Now, let's look at Psalms 104, verse 5. The topography was different before the flood. I don't believe the mountain ranges were nearly as high as they were then. I believe the mountain ranges really went higher. I want to give you one other point before we go farther. On top of Mount Everest, 5 miles high. I don't believe it was 5 miles high before the flood. And I explain that to you because I believe that when the Middle Atlantic Ocean Ridge was broken up and the San Andreas Fault down on the other side, it's like a baseball seam going around the earth. When that was broken up, that comes up, it pushes everything else down, and it just rippled all the way out through the earth. And I believe the Himalayan mountains and all those different things came up. And Mount Everest, you know what they found on top of Mount Everest? They found clamshells. Found clamshells. You know what's really interesting about that? Those clamshells? Do y'all know what happens to clamshells, the clams when they die? They pop open. The clamshell, it pops open when they die. But guess what? They were fossilized in a closed position. You know what that means? That means that there had to be a large amount of mud and other things to have such force on it to where when it died, it couldn't open. it is showing forth God's handiwork that there was a catastrophic global flood. And you find fossils of whales out in the deserts. How do you explain that? There was a catastrophic global flood. Psalms 104:5. Who laid the foundations of the earth that it should not be removed forever? Thou coverest it with the deep as a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At thy rebuke they fled. At thy voice, at the voice of thy thunder, they hasted away. They go up by the mountains. They go down by the valleys unto the place which thou hast founded them. What that is telling me is that these mountains and these valleys were formed at the end of the flood. In verse 9, thou hast set a bound, as we already have read before, thou hast set a bound that they may not pass over, that they turn not again to cover the earth. He sendeth the springs into the valleys which run among the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field, and wild asses quench their thirst. Now, let's go back into Genesis in verse 12. I'm sorry, in chapter 7. We find that the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. Now, do y'all know how long they were in the ark? You know the little kid song, the Lord says there's going to be a floody, floody, and all that, the song. It's a very, very cute song. Well, I want you to get the picture that it just started raining, and eventually the ark kind of lifted up off the ground slowly, and it just kept raining. I want you to get that picture out of your head. All right? When the fountains of the deep were broken up, it shook and rocked this earth to its core. And it broke. I believe volcanoes were going off. I believe that that the earth was completely broken. That water was issuing like it had never issued before. It was coming from heaven. It was coming from below. And it was and it says in the Bible it happened in the same day. Okay, and then after that happened, it continued to rain 4 days. And you think, oh, that little ark. How in the world could they have said they destroyed everything else? How could? Because God was in that ark. Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. Here's one scripture that I like. When you look at that ark, it says that they were to take pitch and pitch it within and without with pitch. And you know what the word pitch means? No doubt it was some type of tar they used to seal the seams of that ark. But when you look at the Hebrew word of the word pitch, now listen to this. It means to atone. It means to forgive. It means to make a recompense. You see in the very Hebrew word the sealing power of Jesus Christ in that ark and preserved. When they were on that ark, it was pitched within and without with pitch. And when you are sealed in Jesus Christ, you are sealed within and without, both soul, body, and spirit. Be preserved until the coming of the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are completely in Him and you can never fall finally away. You will always be in Him, and don't you doubt that. No man can pluck you out of His hand. So you are completely and totally sealed as that little ark was sealed. And brothers and sisters, that ark, not only was it sealed, but He kept that ark all the way until it landed upon top of Mount Ararat. Amen. Now, we find that in verse 12, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And the selfsame day entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons with him into the ark. They and every beast of his kind, and all cattle after their kind, and all creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. I want you to notice that. Kind, 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 kind. Okay? That's very important to get. And every fowl after his kind. It doesn't say species, it says kind. Every bird of every sort. It says after his kind, not species. DNA is a God-given code that makes up. And you know what? Someone might say something like this. Well, you find some of the DNA in a cabbage that relates to the DNA of a human. And they're like, well, how do you get it? Well, they've got to be related somehow. No, it's because we eat cabbage. That's why. It's something that will sustain our body. They'll say, well, you know, we're related to bananas. Well, yes, there's some DNA in banana that matches DNA in human. Why? Because we need to eat bananas. Okay? It's common sense, folks. It's common sense that God set it up that way, that it will sustain our bodies. Now, evolution will try to tell you that you go from banana to dog. Or they'll try to tell you you went from monkey to... You know what? Here's what... If you want to really get down to the nitty-gritty of it, they're trying to say that you came from something that never did have any DNA and it was a rock. Really? I'm watching time. We're going to close up in just a second. Here's what they say. There was a bang that out of nothing, and something exploded out of nothing. There was nothing that was there, but it exploded. And then, eventually, all that stuff that really was nothing, that really kind of became something, it kind of wandered around until it perfectly came into orbit. Eventually, this rock started going around. But here's the thing, I didn't know this. My wife is the one who called me, and she says, well, you can't get DNA out of a rock. It's impossible. And my wife works with DNA, so she knows what she's talking about. And because the first time I ever preached on this message, she came to me because I said they eventually got DNA out of rock somehow. And she says, well, you can't do that. So what they say is that there was this rock, and eventually comets came down, these ice comets. And eventually there was enough ice comets that made all this water, and somehow DNA appeared. I don't know how it appeared and how they got out of all of that. But and then there was this primeval soup that began to swirl. And then eventually you got all these things come out. Now, here's a theological joke. If you're a Campbellite, then it might have been Campbell's soup that you came out of. But brothers and sisters, the point that I want to get to is this, that it's ridiculous. Right. It's absolutely ridiculous. God spoke this world into existence. He is an awesome creator, and everything that we see is for His pleasure. Now, in verse 15, and they went in unto Noah and the ark, two of them and two of all flesh, wherein they had the breath of life. And they went in, both male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. Did you get that? Did you get who shut him in? Noah didn't shut the door. Shem, Ham, or Japheth, they didn't shut the door, and their wives didn't shut the door. The one who shut the door was the Lord. You know what that tells me? Once in Christ, you never fall away. Just never fall away. The Bible tells us in Romans 8:38, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. When you're in Him, you're sealed in Him, and there is no taking you away. Then John 10:27, the Bible says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. Notice they didn't get it, but He gives them eternal life, and they shall never perish. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. And that means anything, brothers. Nothing will be able to take you out of His hand. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 1:22, who hath also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Now, I'm going to skip the rest of this just due to time, and I want to just tell you something I found very interesting. Now, this is not from a creation website. I found a news article, and I want to read this to you. I found this news article from Nature World News. You can Google this. You can find it. It was on June 13th, 2014. Okay, and I'm going to read to you what they found. I want you to keep in mind the scripture I quoted to you from Job. Here's what they say. Scientists have discovered evidence of a vast water reservoir trapped hundreds of miles beneath the surface, capable of filling the Earth's oceans three times over. Located 400 miles beneath the Earth's crust, this body of water is locked up in a blue mineral called ringwoodite. that lies in the transition zone of hot rock between the Earth's surface and core. Interestingly, this water is not in the form that is familiar to us. It's neither liquid, ice, nor vapor. Geophysicist Steve Jacobson from Northwestern University suggests that it means that the water on Earth may get pushed to the surface from below, contradicting previous beliefs that it was delivered by icy comets. Now, did you see where the water was? It was within a mineral. Job 38:30. The waters were hid as with a stone, and the face of the deep is frozen. May God bless you, is my prayer.